Let's read together then, John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Here we have the ministry of John the Baptist mentioned. His ministry was to announce the coming of Christ, the true light of the world. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. First of all, some background notes. The John mentioned in verse 6, of course, is John the Baptist. Now, why was he called John the Baptist? Was that his last name, John Baptist? No. Was that his denomination? He wasn't a Presbyterian. He wasn't a Methodist. He was a Baptist, John the Baptist. No. That was his function. He baptized people who were preparing themselves for the coming of the Messiah. John's baptism was not Christian believers' baptism. It wasn't the same. It was a baptism unto repentance. The Jewish people who underwent John's baptism were basically saying four things. One, I repent of my personal sins. Two, I repent of my part in the nation's sins. This nation of Israel has rejected the prophets of God. I repent of my part in this nation's sins of rejecting God. Three, I am prepared for the coming Messiah, the true light of the world. And four, I am ready for the Messiah to set up his kingdom. John the Baptist then was a forerunner of the Messiah. He was like a herald announcing the arrival of a king. And John's mission as the forerunner of the Messiah was predicted more than 400 years before in the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Now, I want you to notice here in John chapter 1 the contrast between John the Baptist and the Lord, seen in these verses that we've just read, as well as the verses in the beginning of the Gospel of John. Notice verse 6. John was only a man. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Whereas we saw the Lord is referred to as the Word, and the Word was God. Verse 1. The Word was God. John was only a man. The Word, the Messiah, was God. A second contrast. There at the beginning of verse 6, it says, there was a man, there came a man, there came into being. Whereas verse 1, the Word always was. There's definitely a contrast there. Definitely a contrast, particularly seen in the Greek word that's used there in verse 6. There was. Definitely a contrast there between there came or there came into being there, verse 6, in reference to John, in contrast to the Word. The Word was. The Word was always in existence. The Word was already in existence. And the third contrast is John was only a witness to the light, verses 7 and 8. The Lord, of course, was the light, the true light, verse 9. Another background note. We've seen that the theme of the Gospel of John is Christ as the Son of God, and the purpose of John in writing this Gospel is to convince people to believe this truth and have the light and life of Christ. So Christ as the life and Christ as the light are sub-themes running throughout the Gospel of John. As the Son of God, he is the life and the light. We've already seen that in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In these verses before us that we've just read, verses 6 through 9, we see a continued emphasis here on Christ as the light. And if people will respond to this light and believe this true light, they will have life, divine life, new life. They will have Christ as life. Let me read a few more verses from the Gospel of John where these sub-themes of Christ as the life and Christ as the light emerge. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus said to her, that is to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, that is to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we see then these sub-themes of Christ as the light and Christ as the life running all the way through the Gospel of John. Now that brings us to our doctrinal points for these four verses, John 1, 6 through 9. And the first doctrinal point is this. The goal of witnessing is evangelism. The goal of witnessing is evangelism. Look at verse 7. This man, John the Baptist, came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Notice, John was not sent to be a witness by being a good neighbor or being a model citizen. He was sent to be a witness of Christ to the extent that he would verbalize the message that people would believe and must believe in order to have light, in order to have life. Well, we must do the same. That's what evangelism is all about. You know, some Christians think that, well, if we're just good neighbors and model citizens, we're being good witnesses. But we have not reached the goal of witnessing if we're just good neighbors and model citizens. Because the goal of witnessing is evangelism. Your neighbors are not evangelized until they know the gospel and they know that they have to make a decision to believe. Have your neighbors been evangelized? Or do they know you just as a good neighbor? Well, we are to be good neighbors and model citizens, but our witness must get to the point of evangelism. John was sent for that reason. We too are sent. The Great Commission, which definitely applies to us, is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. The goal of witnessing is evangelism. You know, one of our neighbors is a single mother who has two children. Just this last summer, we sent Justin, 10-year-old son, to a Christian camp. Why? Just to be good neighbors? Just so that he would have a good time? More than that. So that he would be evangelized. He would hear the gospel. The goal of witnessing is evangelism. Doctrinal point number two. Christ is God's standard of perfection for everyone. Christ is God's standard of perfection for everyone. Look at verse 9. That was the true light, referring to Christ, which gives light to every man who comes into the world. Now, what does this verse mean anyway? Is this the Quaker idea that every person has the inner light, the spark of the divine? No, that's not it. Is this verse teaching universalism, that everyone eventually is saved? No, that certainly is not what this verse is teaching. What does it mean? Well, it could mean that since Christ, the true light, has come into the world, that light is now available to all people. I believe the primary meaning of this verse, however, is that Christ as the light sheds light on everyone, showing that everyone falls short of God's moral standards. Christ is the true light, the real, the genuine light. He is God's ultimate moral standard because he is God. When Christ came into the world, all of mankind, no matter what race, what background, what culture, all of mankind were exposed with the light. That is, the light shone on everyone to show that they fell short of God's standards. That's the idea. The light shone on them, not in them. It would be like turning on the lights in a room full of dust. Now the dust is exposed. The lights are low, dim, off. You don't see it. Suppose you were to get a call this evening from a friend of yours who lives out of town, and you hear they're going to be in town. They're arriving tonight, and they're going to show up at your house in a half hour. And you haven't dusted or vacuumed the house in some time. What are you going to do? I got a suggestion. Turn the lights down low. You see, that's the point. You can't see the dirt. Bright lights show up every speck of dust. Well, you see, that's the idea in this verse, verse 9. In the same way, you see, the light of Christ shows people up for the imperfections that they have. It shows that all fall short of God's standards. Now, you'll notice that some of your translations refer the phrase comes into the world to Christ and some to every man. In any case, Christ is God's standard of perfection for everyone. That's the main point of verse 9. Practical application. You don't have to do miracles or have a lot of charisma to be a good witness. You don't have to do miracles or have a lot of charisma to be a good witness. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if only I could do a few miracles. Oh, my witness for the Lord would be so much better, so much more powerful. Let's learn the lesson from John the Baptist. We see here, he was a good witness, but he did no miracle. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus said that there was no greater prophet that had risen to that point than John the Baptist. Think of Elijah and Elisha doing all those miracles. But John was greater. Why? Because he announced the king, and yet John did no miracles. The power of being a good witness is not in doing the miraculous, but in being sent by God to preach Christ. John was a man sent by God to be a witness for Christ. We are sent by God to be witnesses for Christ. You don't have to do miracles to be a good witness. And you don't have to have a lot of charisma to be a good witness. You know, again, sometimes we think that if only I had more charisma, more charm, I could be a better witness. If only people were more naturally drawn to me. Hey, again, learn the lesson from John the Baptist. John the Baptist did not have a lot of charisma. People were not drawn to John the Baptist because of his charm. He grew up in the wilderness. Luke chapter 1. And verse 80, so the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel. John the Baptist ate locusts and wild honey. Some today would even call John the Baptist, if he were living today, a social misfit. But he was sent by God and he was humble and he announced Christ. You don't have to have a lot of charisma or charm to be a good witness. Learn the lesson from John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a very humble man. He referred to himself as just a voice crying in the wilderness. He said he was not even worthy to loose the sandals of the Messiah, less than a servant. No wonder God used him. We don't have to do miracles or have a lot of charisma to be a good witness. Be like John the Baptist. We need to be sent by God, and we are sent. We need to announce Christ. And we need to be humble. Let's pray that we will be humble. Humble enough to be a good witness. Remember, you don't have to do miracles or have a lot of charisma to be a good witness.